sir. We are up and recording. If you'll begin by stating your full name and title for the record, please.
Joe Don McGaugh, 39th District State Representative.
Well, Joe Don, before we know it, it'll be time for the 98th General Assembly of Missouri to convene. That happens January 7th. I understand that this week House members can start pre-filing bills. Let's talk about some of the bills that you're working on.
Last year, I filed 18 bills, and five of those were successful. One of those was vetoed by the governor, and we did not override that, which would have protected livestock owners from potential liability. So that's something we're going to work on. I know Senator Dempsey over in the Senate, they've said that they're going to prioritize the agricultural issues that didn't get passed at the end of last year. So I'm working on several other agriculturally related bills. One of the things I did get passed was the alternative fuels tax credit. We got the language put into statute, but we did not get any money appropriated in the budget for those programs. So that's something we'll be working on for next year. One other bill that made it all the way to the Senate on the very last day of session that did not get passed was a bill in regards to electronic voter registration. Right now in the state of Missouri, the Secretary of State has implemented electronic voter registration, but there hasn't been a lot of input from county clerks and local election authorities. So basically what we would do would be to set up a board of local election authorities to work with the Secretary of State to further implement the program and to put in some safeguards for local election authorities, giving them the ultimate authority of whether or not to accept or deny online voter registrations from the state. And then kind of my third and final big piece of legislation that didn't get passed all the way through last year was a extension of the Castle Doctrine in the state of Missouri, the ability of individuals to use deadly force in their homes is what the Castle Doctrine does now. What my bill would have done and what it will do would be allow third-party individuals that are in your home to use deadly force to protect your family. So the example I give, if my father-in-law is at my house babysitting my children, the Castle Doctrine, the way it's written now, he would not have the opportunity to use deadly force to protect my children because that is not his property. But if I give him the inherent ability to use deadly force through my legislation, he would be able to do that. So those are the issues that I will be filing here this week, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to hear most of those pretty early in session, and we'll see how things go.
Well, let's talk about the Castle Doctrine. That seems, as a Missouri resident, that seems like a common sense thing. Will there be changes made for it before it goes back before a vote again?
I'm going to refile it just as we got it passed out of the House last year, and I got it passed out of the House on its own, standing on its own as a bill, and then it was tacked on to a couple of different bills, and none of those bills were ultimately successful for one reason or another. When it went over to the Senate, because I basically put so broadly that any private property owner can give specific authority to a third party, there was some concern that individuals who owned shopping malls and people who owned sporting facilities would be able to kind of give blanket authority to individuals to use firearms to protect the people around them. Like you said, out in rural Missouri, we have a different view of the Second Amendment. We don't have as much of a fear of individuals and neighbors having firearms on their person if they're certified and whether they've, you know, if they're not criminals, things like that. So it'll probably be something that will come up again, and we may have to compromise on a few things. My number one concern is that the Castle Doctrine is set up to protect an individual in their home and their own personal property or their own private property. So I want to see that happen. I'm not so concerned about if I'm at a local business or I'm at a sporting event, things like that. I really want to see people taken care of in their own homes and not have a fear of someone coming in their home and causing injury to themselves or their family.
Of course. Well, I want to touch base on that livestock owner liability bill a little bit, too. For my listeners who may not be familiar, talk to us a little bit about the goal of that bill.
The goal is to stop junk lawsuits against people who have animals. I found that a lot of the statutes that we have in Missouri, especially as relating to animals and liability, livestock liability, really haven't been touched since the 1930s. I don't know if that's just because no one's been interested in it, but me as an attorney, someone who grew up on a farm and still, my parents still have a farm, it's kind of interested me, so I've worked on some of those issues. Missouri's had an equine liability law for a long time. If you're injured from the inherent risk of dealing with equine, if you're at a local county fair and you walk up to a horse and the horse kicks you, basically, unless you can prove that the individual who owns that horse is negligent in the way that they've cared for the horse or something they did, the person who was injured is pretty much barred from suing that animal owner. So what I'm trying to do is to parlay any livestock owned in the state of Missouri to basically look just like that equine liability law, which has been really successful to keep junk lawsuits away from equine owners. So if I can put in beef cattle, everything down to goats, pigs, any type of livestock. So if a person is injured from the inherent risks of livestock, they would basically be barred from being sued but for negligent acts of the livestock owner.
Very good. Well, we'll be interested to see how all of that turns out. Of course, you're entering this session as a sophomore legislator now. How much more confident are you entering this new assembly?
That's a great question, and it's interesting. I mean, if you think back, we get four terms now in the Missouri House, so really it's kind of nice to call yourself a freshman, sophomore, all the way up to a senior. But it's a lot like being in high school or college. The more people you know and the more experience you have, the more confidence you gain. So I'm going into this session, I'll be higher in the committees. I'll have more bills that will be heard. And we've kind of got figured out who you need to talk to and who you need to get on your side to get good legislation passed and bad legislation to fail. So I'm looking forward to the upcoming session, and hopefully it will be not only successful for me, but successful for Missouri as well.
Of course. And of course, you've spent some time at home here recently. What are you hearing from constituents? What's on their mind? Anything like that that you would like to talk about?
Well, I think, number one, folks are still concerned about the economy, and they're still worried about jobs and job growth, especially in rural Missouri. The events that happened in St. Louis with Ferguson, I think, are on the top of everybody's minds. Normally, if I go to the local coffee shop or wherever, someone asks me about what's going on in Ferguson, I think we're going to have to tackle those issues. I think education is always at the top of everyone's minds, especially in my district. And then I think one of the biggest things is as we continue to fight the federal government and their mandates, whether it be the EPA with the water rules that they're trying to put down on farmers, you've got DNR on the state level with regulations. So I think fighting big government will always be something in my area that people are concerned about.
Yeah, and on that same topic, kind of, we hear a lot of concerns, especially at the federal level, that people think that lawmakers are just not getting anything done. Again, not so much on the state level, but sometimes we hear that too. Entering this sophomore year, how confident are you that the lawmakers in Jeff City, and yourself included, will be able to move things forward?
It's going to be an interesting year with the elections that happen in November. We have 118 Republicans in the House and 26 Republicans in the Senate. So we have a super majority, a mega majority of Republicans in both the House and the Senate. We can basically override the governor. We need 109 in the House, and they need 25 in the Senate. So we're well beyond those numbers. It will be interesting to see, what we do. We passed Amendment 10, which basically put a check and balance on the governor's ability to withhold funds out of the budget. And I know after talking to several members of House leadership, they're ready to basically try to override some of the withholds from the governor when we get back to session. So it's going to be a really interesting year. And whenever you have that many people of one party, for me, you get concerned about, because there are legislators on the other side of the aisle that I respect immensely, I think, to have good ideas, and you don't want them to be silenced 100%. They still have a very big role, not only for their constituents, but for the state of Missouri as well. So I hope that we continue to see bipartisanship and camaraderie amongst the members, because really we're all there to do one thing, and that's to move Missouri forward, and hopefully we can do that.
Very good. Sir, anything else that you would like to add?
I encourage everybody to stay warm. It's cooling off, and hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Very good. And we'll place a link on our website to all of your contact details, too, as far as constituents being able to reach you. So.
Thank you.